We're going to go to the GMI studios. Dr. Christopher Lawson, he's with Portsmouth Regional Hospital, a cardiologist, talking about women's health. And, Doctor, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you, Jack?
Good. Thanks. We really appreciate your expertise, and I know you were pulled into surgery the other day, but we just had a guest on, former Health and Human Service Commissioner, talking about the some of the important cardiology and heart-type procedures and checkups and appointments that have been sort of put on hold, and I think it's a big mistake over the last couple of years. Cancer screenings.
Yeah,
but tell us a little bit
absolutely.
About... Yeah, take it away, doctor.
Sure, yeah. Well, February is American Heart Month, so we definitely want to put a spotlight on cardiovascular health. But you're 100% right. You know, I think over the past couple of years, people have been really putting a lot of things on hold because of COVID, trying to avoid hospitals and doctor's offices. But it is important to do the primary prevention things. That is key. You know, the more you can do to prevent things like heart attacks and strokes, the better off you are. And some of that is really basic stuff. It's just getting in to see your regular doctor, making sure your blood pressure is checked, making sure your cholesterol is checked. And those basic things are they go a long way to helping to prevent problems down the road.
And Dr. Lawson, I checked some CDC numbers for New Hampshire because they issued these for states. And even at the height of this thing, even with the record number of cases we've had and cases are coming down now in New Hampshire in terms of hospitalizations, even at the end of 2021, even at the end of 2022, the number one cause of death in New Hampshire will not be anything to do with COVID directly. It will be heart disease and cancer. Those numbers still seem to be higher each year.
Correct, yeah. I mean, that's another good point. COVID has been obviously on everybody's minds and kind of forefront in the news. And, you know, it's taken up a lot of the bandwidth. And I'm hoping as the numbers decrease, everybody can get back to kind of the usual business, for better or for worse, the usual business is cancer and cardiovascular disease. And cardiovascular disease makes up just about half of causes of death, and a lot of it is preventable. So if you get in, you make sure you get your cholesterol checked, your blood pressure checked. That's important. We also want to make sure people can get in to see their cardiologist if they need. And, you know, on the seacoast, what we're trying to do at Portsmouth is really provide a robust program, everything from, you know, basic testing to cardiac surgery, and we even have an ECMO program going. And ECMO, if some of your listeners are not familiar, although it probably got a bit of news with COVID, is putting people on the kind of heart-lung machines, allowing them to recover from COVID. It has other uses for cardiac disease, and we're proud to get that going here on the seacoast.
Dr. Christopher Lawson, Portsmouth Regional Hospital cardiologist. Doctor, are you seeing a slight slowdown? I know you're not on the emergency room side, or you're probably not on the respiratory side, but are you seeing a little bit of a come down from the latest surge with Omicron at Portsmouth?
I think it's getting a little bit better. I don't have the exact numbers. I know a few weeks ago the emergency room was very, very packed, and we were doing a lot to try to offload that, mm-hmm. and we were having trouble, you know, transferring people in from outside hospitals to Portsmouth. We have almost entirely throughout the entire pandemic been open for business, keeping elective surgeries going. We're keeping our cardiac program going mm-hmm. with really no pauses because we do know that it's important. But I do think we're hopefully, although I said this last year, hopefully we're starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel.
And, doctor, let me ask you this. Dr. Lawson, Portsmouth Regional Hospital, we just had, as I said, the Nick Valis, former Health and Human Service Commissioner, still involved in healthcare, and he was saying that that they are hearing some of the cases where you're seeing some younger males in particular, younger people having some cardiac outerwear heart inflammation, which is causing arrhythmia. Are you picked up on any of this?
We haven't seen a lot of it. You know, I think overall, whether, and you know, this is kind of gets into a little bit of troubled waters, but whether it's from the vaccine or the virus, the rates of inflammation or what we call myocarditis, they're all very low. And so when you have numbers as a whole that are low, you got to kind of look for a large data set. And even though we see a lot of folks here on the seacoast, you're starting to talk about finding small numbers in populations of, you know, tens to hundreds of thousands. So you have mm-hmm. to kind of do these large trials to kind of capture that. So is it out there? Yes. You know, the usual kind of line. You know, the best way to help prevent that is to get vaccinated, as everybody knows. But we fortunately have not seen a lot of that myocarditis secondary to COVID.
Two messages here from listeners. They just asked if I'd ask you, and I'm going to throw it at you. They're generic questions. Please ask the doctor for general heart care. One person's in their late 50s. Baby aspirin, 81 milligrams a day, if they don't have any other underlying conditions, good or bad. And a second question is CBD oil for anti-inflammatory, good or bad. And those are just general questions on the cardiac side.
Sure. The aspirin question, that's a great question. That's definitely been in the news. The short answer is that if you don't have any or any major cardiac risk factors, you don't need to take a baby aspirin. We kind of look at these things, the way I like to look at it, it's kind of like wearing a seatbelt. If people should wear a seatbelt. But if you're a race car driver, there's a pretty good chance the seatbelt is going to save your life. And if you're driving around town at 20 miles an hour and you just go down to the library to pick up a book and drive home, it's important to wear a seatbelt, but chances are it's not going to make the difference. And aspirin is like that. It's the same therapy, but it depends on your risk. And the reason why that's been a little bit controversial or at least moved the needle a little bit in the news is that the therapy is the same, but it depends whether it benefits you depends on your risk. So if you have known cardiac disease, if you've had prior stents or bypass, yes, you should be on an aspirin. But outside of that, if you don't have much in the way of cardiac risk factors, you don't need to take a baby aspirin. As far as the CBD oil, that's another kind of hits at a very interesting question. We know for cardiac disease and heart attacks that inflammation may be the thing that kicks people over from having some disease in their heart arteries into the situation where they're having a heart attack. So inflammation has become very front and center in treating cardiac disease and preventing heart attacks. The problem with CBD oil is that has not been studied widely. Mm-hmm. So we don't have any data on that, and you'd have to have forward-looking trials to answer that question. And right now, the only medication that we have that helps reduce inflammation that's been proven is actually an old medication called colchicine, which is used for gout. And for some folks, after they've had an MI, being on a low-dose colchicine helps to prevent that inflammation and helps prevent recurrent heart attacks. So not exact answer to the question. We just don't know about CBD oil, but it is along the right mindset. The thinking is correct.
No, Dr. Lawson, I think those are great answers. That last medication you mentioned, low dosage, is that a prescription or over-the-counter?
That's a prescription. The colchicine it's used for gout. It's used to treat gout flares. These anti-inflammatory medications can be toxic, especially at a higher level. So you definitely want to talk to your doctor about being on that. It's sort of a new finding, I think, in the past 2 years after having a heart attack. And even in that setting, the doses we use are lower than the doses we use for gout.
And Dr. Lawson, it's interesting. I know it's not scientific, and we appreciate your expertise with Cardiac or Heart Awareness Month. Dr. Lawson, Portsmouth Regional Hospital, I'll let you go on this. My first introduction to the CBD oil question or possibility for anti-inflammatory actually came from the special operations community in the Navy SEALs. There are a number of SEALs that over the years, like pro athletes, especially with the jumps out of airplanes, have a lot of compression issues and arthritis and, the normal aches and pains. And some of them who are so athletic and so concerned about their body health and their mental health shared with me, and there's quite a few of them, where they just, you can only take so much ibuprofen, so much stuff that's medication without hurting other organs, and they just feel that the CBD oils reduce their inflammation in terms of aches and pain. So it's not scientific, but I relay that for what it's worth. But I appreciate your expertise and your awareness this month and for what you do, doctor, and your nursing staff, your PAs, all your doctors there at Portsmouth Regional Hospital. We thank you very much. You're on the front line. Thank you, Dr. Lawson.
Great. Thank you for having me.